The Institute of Marriage and Family Canada is talking about some new findings. Here's the thing. Quebecers are less likely than other Canadians to prefer that a family member care for children under six. And that's especially true for Quebecers who are in common law relationships. This is part one of the national child care poll. 70% of Quebecers believe it's best for children under six to be cared by a parent at home. National average, 76%. Andrea Mrozek is the executive director at the Institute of Marriage and Family Canada. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm good. Good to get you back on the show again.
It's good to be here.
Now, is that number, the Quebec number, is that particularly skewed because daycare is such a good deal in Quebec?
That is a good question. We suspect that the introduction of the daycare system, provincially funded at $7 a day in Quebec, did start to skew attitudes toward childcare. We don't think this alone. There's been studies done on it. You can see the trend lines, and those are in the report. So obviously the presence of a system appears to have skewed or changed, really, people's attitudes, I should say. There is, of course, the obvious thing is that still 7 in 10 Quebecers, in spite of having a provincially funded daycare system since 1997, 7 in 10 still think that the best place for a child under 6 is with a parent. So it's a good news, bad news story. It just depends how you look at that, really. One might have thought their attitudes toward daycare and parents would be even more different because of that system that they've had since 1997, but it's not.
Yeah. For a lot of Canadians, Andrea, having a family member look after your children is not an option simply because of geography.
Yes.
So that's why I think the daycare thing is such a fascinating question. My perspective, and keep in mind, my kids are as old as you are. I still think that the money should go, if there's going to be a subsidy, it should go to parents and then let them pick.
Yeah, and that would be the basic view of the Institute of Marriage and Family Canada, precisely because these choices are very, very deeply individual. And when we try to devise systems, inevitably they can't serve everybody because it is, at the end of the day, a universal approach to what is a deeply personal family question. The poll we did is I continue to say, an idealistic one. We asked the question, what do you think is best? And this is a different question from what is possible. And we are very well aware of that. But I do think that there's still a place for asking those questions and then having public policy that isn't entirely divorced from what people want. So when you say you think it's better for parents to get money, that's absolutely true, because at the end of the day, then families are going to be making those choices. They will know what they can and can't do, and they'll know their own personal circumstances, whether they live geographically close to somebody who can help out or not. Money in your pocket is never a bad thing, and it certainly is a more personal choice than having the government offer one plan.
Yeah, but that said, are we ever going to get to that? Do you think that there's that... there's so many differences between provinces and jurisdictions that it makes my head spin sometimes. I would just like to see a plan.
Mm.
Is that ever going to be possible to have a plan?
On a different topic, but related,
yeah.
Family income splitting is something we continue to advocate for strenuously, regardless of whatever party is in power federally. Family income splitting, which would allow people to share money between spouses, and in the way it works in France is that a single parent can share income with a child so that you get a tax reduction, regardless of your family structure or family circumstances. Family income splitting is essentially something that allows people to keep more of their own money.
Right.
It's not the same thing as giving people money in order to help with child care. However, it is a sort of a step or a compromise position between those two things. Really, I think that there is a lot of hope on the family income splitting side, that will come to be. It exists in the U.S. and France and a number of other countries across the globe. So that's one avenue to provide some financial relief for families, which is a close issue to how you care for your kids.
Kirk asks this question on email. Would it be wiser to just stop supporting all systems?
Would it be wiser to stop supporting all systems?
In other words, no government money at all.
Oh, I'm not sure what that particular writer means. I mean, we are against the government funding of systems and have been for a while, and I think we're pretty unique on the Canadian landscape for that positioning. I think that, however, there is a place for some assistance tax. You could have a debate, a really good one, I think, around how that's how that should look. But helping families who are working hard to raise the next generation, I think, is in general something that's worth debating, and how we do that is up for grabs.
It's a big policy issue, or maybe it should be a big policy issue for political parties.
Well, it is a big policy issue. I know that when these things come up, it's generally very heated. You may have heard and perhaps even interviewed someone from the Fraser Institute when they released a report talking about the minimum amount of money it takes to raise a child today, which was sort of criticized for being far too low. I think the author pegged it at somewhere between $3,000 and $4,500 annually, but that was a minimum amount. All I'm saying is that when we come to these points, it's deeply, deeply personal, and people obviously, when it comes to your own kids, take it to heart. But the basic positioning here is that, yes, we need to help assist, I think, for families struggling and raising kids, but that universal systems that are mandated almost, that are preferentially funded by the government, that those are not equitable because it can't possibly serve the unique circumstances of each family.
We did have the author of that Fraser Institute study on the show. And
I'm sorry, I missed that.
Well, I don't know if you are or not, because the response was unanimous. And I can sum it up in one word: bull cookies is pretty much what was pretty much the response.
Okay, well then I don't need to catch up find that one.
That's just the Reader's Digest condensed response. If you want to find the podcast, go online. It's still quite available to listen to. But nobody bought what he was selling, the 4,000. And his point, Andrea, was there's a difference between needs and wants. That was his whole point. And he determined the basic needs, not the wants.
And
that's what's got the whole bull cookies thing going. But
yeah, well, it was universally panned, but I think that there is, you know, when we get the other estimates that have been done, so far as I've checked, have put the cost of raising children over the time till age 18 upwards of $250,000 annually. And I think that there's something scary about that, that people actually then stop. It's not to say that, you know, people choose to have kids based on what some public policy analyst said, but I think that it's a scary number that would be put forward, and people who are lower income and can't conceive of ever being able to afford that then find it very traumatizing, sort of, to even ponder that.
Well, a wise man once said to me, the first child shows up anytime, the rest of them will take 9 months. and I absolutely love that. When it comes to family planning, and I got, you know, my kids are grown and gone. I wouldn't change a thing. I really wouldn't. And if somebody had said to me when we found out that we were going to have the first that you may want to reconsider this because by the time they leave the nest, it's going to cost you $250,000. I still would have said, bring it on.
It's good to hear that perspective, because I don't think we hear it terribly often. I'm, as you've mentioned, maybe more the age of your children, and having children, it can, you know, I'm talking anecdotally here, not as a public policy person, but it can sound like a scary, frightening thing.
Oh, sure. Absolutely. It is.
So much so that I think we're seeing the demographic change. I mean, the last time we had a replacement birth ratio was back in 1976 or so. It was in the 70s, I believe. So it's been a long while since we were having, you know, even enough kids to just replace our own population.
Yeah. And you see that all the time. My wife's the youngest of seven. I'm the youngest of four. We had two. That seems to be the ratio. You know what I mean? And we don't have the replacement, but I don't think it's because grandma wasn't there to look after them.
True enough. Yeah. The daycare plans don't raise the birth rate. Has not done so in Quebec, not substantially anyway.
Yeah, because they're not saying, hey, look, it's only going to cost us $7 a day to have somebody else look after the kid. Let's have six. That's not happening. Andrea, always good to get your perspective. Thanks. Appreciate it.
Thank you, and have a great long weekend.
You too. Bye-bye. Andrea Mrozek is the Executive Director of the Institute of Marriage and Family Canada.